What is happening, everyone? This is the Celtics Talk Podcast coming to you from the Cumberland Farms Lounge at our NBC Sports Boston studios. Cumberland Farms coffee is just 99 cents any size. That's 99 good reasons to switch. Kyle Draper and Ace Sherrod Blakely joining you on this episode. What's up, Sherrod?
What's going on? Let's get this going. We got things to do. Come on, Draper.
All of a sudden, you got things to do. I've been waiting here for, an hour waiting for you, but now you got things to
do. Let's go, Draper.
It's all right, man. We got a big show coming up. We're going to check in with David Aldridge of NBA TV, NBA.com, Turner Sports, whatever you want to say.
Uncle David.
Uncle David, we call him. And then Terry Rozier and Abby. A great conversation between Terry and Abby. Let's call him Scary Terry from here on out. All right, here we go, Shiraz. Celtics up 2-0.
Yep.
Two wins away from the NBA Finals.
Yep.
With this series, is it more to do with how good and how well the Celtics are playing or just how bad Cleveland is right now?
It's a combination of the two, but I would lean a little bit more towards the Celtics and how they're playing. You know, Cleveland, one of the things they've been really good at throughout the postseason is finding ways to win and having others besides LeBron James carry them just for not, it doesn't have to be long. It has to be 3-4 minutes here and there. And they just haven't been able to find that player. Kevin Love, I thought, had a solid game too. But the problem with Kevin Love is he's a major defensive liability. And, you know, Kyle Korver did some good things out there in game two. But again, major defensive liability. And the Celtics, you know, the one thing that they have been able to benefit from, and it has really given Cleveland a lot of fits, is Cleveland knew in previous series, if I can just lock in on that one guy, if I can just lock in defensively on those two guys, we're good. You can't do that with the Celtics. If you lock in on Jason Tatum, which I think they've really tried to make a point of emphasis to try to get him out of being so dynamic in ISO situations, that's created opportunities for Jaylen Brown. It's created opportunities for Al Horford. It's created opportunities for Marcus Morris, Marcus Smart. You go down the line, and the Celtics have found different ways to impact the game from different players, and Cleveland has not had they've shown no signs of being able to counter that.
Well, the problem, too, is with Cleveland, everything – LeBron has to start everything, you know, even, you know.
But that doesn't even work.
It didn't work in game two.
It didn't work in game two.
It worked for a half of game two.
We don't play half of games.
Right, right. But, you know, the key for the Cavs wasn't LeBron James. Kyle Korver getting hot in that first half is really when they were playing their best ball. Second half, Celtics shut that down. And so with the Cleveland, if LeBron doesn't set it up or orchestrate it, they have nothing. They have no guys that can put the ball on the floor, create their own shot. They got to be set up. The Celtics got 5, 6, 7 guys that can get their own shot.
Well, not just, and we talked about this on Boston Sports Tonight. LeBron needs better support. Those guys around him are not getting it done. And the one thing that really jumps out, and this, you hate to dwell on one move, but no Kyrie Irving means you don't have anyone who can create their own shot other than LeBron James. And if you're relying on LeBron James to set the table and no one else can set the table for him or get their own shot, they're in trouble because the Celtics have the ability to switch at every position defensively for the most part and not be significantly hurt by that. And that's a major problem for Cleveland. They're not able to create enough matchups that are in their favor without the Celtics having a counter for that.
You know what? It's going to take a 60-point effort from LeBron. And I don't know if he has that in him. I mean, that's the only way because maybe shots will fall for J.R. Smith at home. Who knows? I don't know. But if somebody doesn't wake up, we going to Oakland or we going to Houston, big fella.
But this is the thing about that, and I agree that he as great as he was in game two, he has to be even greater for them to win a game. I still don't think that's enough. As great as LeBron
is. You don't think 60 is enough?
I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. Because the Celtics, if he's getting 60, that means no one else is really taking any shots. So that means when the game is on the line and LeBron, you got to believe, if he's rolling like that, by the time you get late in the fourth quarter, his tank is either on E or damn near close to it. Where you got Jaylen Brown, who's probably got half a tank of gas left. You got Jason Tatum, who's probably got it going. And Al Horford, as we've seen, he seems to be locked and loaded to carry them down the stretch. And so I think if he has a monster game like that, I think we'll see a repeated game, too, where it's going to be good but not good enough. Now, will it – the one thing – and someone brought this up, and we all knew this at the end of the game, but let it marinate for a second. LeBron has a supersized triple-double,
yep,
42, 12, and 10, and he loses by double digits. He didn't lose. They didn't lose the game. They lost by double digits. How does the best player pound for pound on a planet in a game that they deemed as one of those must-wins, if we're going to significantly alter this series in their favor, have a night like that, a great game by anyone's imagination, yep, and you don't just lose, you catch a double-digit L? It makes you think. I mean, as great as he was, even if he's better, is that going to be enough?
But
he's got to have better support.
You can't get 3 points from your starting backcourt.
No,
you can't. I mean, to me, that's really the story of this series so far. The fact that George Hill, a veteran who they expected, you know, could come in, have playoff experience.
Looks more like George Over the Hill right now.
And J.R. Smith, we know J.R. Smith is streaky, but to me, I don't even know how Ty Lue plays this.
Listen,
dude. He's been a negative.
There's streaky, and then there's where you at.
Right.
He's in the where you at category, because right now, J.R. Smith has not shown up at either end of the floor. I mean, think about this. We're two games into this series, and the most significant moment of J.R. Smith's role in this series was when he got into it with Marcus Smart.
Yep.
That's the only thing that he's done that's memorable.
Yep.
You two-hand shove Al Horford in the back of the back. That's it. That's your contribution to this series in a significant way. He has sucked.
So with all that being said, is this series over?
No.
What?
No, it's not over.
Of all people, I'm surprised to hear you say
When I hear people ask that question, is this series over? To me, that means you expect them to go into Cleveland and sweep.
Right.
And
right.
I don't think there's a lot of basketball to be played. I think there's some basketball. I don't think there's a lot, because again, the problems that Cleveland has, we're not talking about X's and O's. We're not talking about technique. We're talking about actual talent, actual ability. And then when you even if you want to throw in the whole X's and O's dynamic, that makes it even worse for Cleveland, because they're not going to win that battle.
Right.
So you have and the Celtics, they're the younger team, and typically young teams are like, you know, they're inexperienced, they make mistakes, they get rattled easily,
right,
and that's not this crew. They're locked and loaded to win this thing, and, you know, to me, it starts with Al Horford, I mean, showing that veteran leadership, but it trickles down to a guy like Jaylen Brown, who has shown time and time again, let him get an opportunity to be more than you think he is and see what happens.
Yeah, but
And I don't trust the Cavaliers outside of LeBron James. They're like that dude with the 580 credit score. He might have a good job now. He might be doing some good things.
Oh,
but when you look at, I don't know.
580 credit score.
I don't know about this guy.
Where'd that come from? Why are you bringing up my credit score, Holmes?
My bad, Trace. Are we still live? Oh, man, my bad. Both teams play hard.
But
there you go.
I still got this series going 6 or 7. I still got it going 6 or 7. Mm. I know how quickly these things could change.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you know, all it takes is because J.R. Smith is one of the streakiest players.
Yeah.
He struggled earlier in the regular season, then got hot. All it takes is one or two games, and then here we are. We could be tied up at 2. So if I'm the Celtics, they better not be thinking, you know, it's over. Sherrod, and I know he had better teammates, because I know that's the argument you're going to make.
It's an easy argument.
Back in 2012, you had your flight to OKC booked, big fella. You know, no, not 2000. What year was that?
Get your numbers right before you started. Yeah,
that was that 2012 when LeBron went to Miami. First year, they were down 3-2. Game 6 at the Garden. LeBron came in, dropped 45. You were all set to go to OKC for the NBA Finals. We looked way ahead, and we saw what happened there. So I'm not ready to book Golden State or Houston just yet.
3-2, young LeBron. Put that on his shelf.
Okay.
0-2, older LeBron, worst crew with him. I'm sorry, Drapes, but I can't. To me, this shelf, I can't put them on the same shelves, because one is going to stand and the other one is going to fall flat on his face like this Cavaliers team. They are not a good team, Drapes.
But are they good enough to win this series?
No. They're not good enough to win.
I disagree with that.
I totally disagree.
And
I'm going to tell you why. They're not good enough to win this series because the intangible that we haven't talked about is toughness. Ty Lue,
right?
Bless his heart. Knows this. He knows that this team that we're facing is tougher than us. He knows that that team he's facing is younger than him. He knows that team, and this is, to me, this is a key one. That team he's facing is hungrier. The Celtics are playing with the hunger to get there. The Cavaliers are not. They are in cool, easy, breezy mode.
But can we see Tristan Thompson or our boy Perk being activated, delivering a Kevin McHale, see, Kurt Rambis kind of hard foul to send a message?
Now you're talking my language. If you talk about doing something to upgrade your physicality, right, your toughness, that I can co-sign with, because then Perk can do that. I mean, remember
that's
back,
about all he
remember,
can do right
remember
now.
Remember the first time they played, and he came in and he set that hard pick of Jay Crowder and just damn near flattened him right in front of us. And from that point on, the Celtics, they weren't the same team. I think this team is a little tougher mentally than that crew was.
The Celtics team, yeah.
Perk has that ability. If you throw him out there, you know what he's out there for.
Right.
And if the Celtics, if you're smart, you're going to use that to your advantage, because you know he's trying to mix it up. You, whoever he's guarding, keep him as far away from the paint as possible.
He can't be out there for more than 3 or 4 minutes.
No, and what you
he'll get exposed.
And if anything, I would have like, you know, try to get him matched up with Marcus Morris, because Marcus Morris is going to put it on the floor. He's going to attack him. Perk's going to follow him hard. Marcus will get up in his face. They'll have the little dance that all these players do when not really playing tough guy. And then Perk will get attacked. Marcus will get fired up. And then that
I expect
help.
Things to get heated in game 3.
I hope
three.
They do. They should. At this point in the playoffs, you're down 0-2. You're at home. Right. You better come ready to fight.
You better come out.
Because if you – and you know, and I – me and Marcus Morris, we had a conversation earlier today. I ain't going to get into all the particulars of the conversation. You can read about it on NBCSportsBoston.com later.
Ooh, nice play.
But Marcus made it absolutely crystal clear to me why they don't have any fear of Cleveland. And it's so simple. It's so simple.
What'd he say?
Real simple. Because I know every guy on my roster. Ooh. We have no fear because we're all fearless. Everyone in my huddle is fearless. He's like, do you know what that feels like? And I'm like, I don't. I have no idea what it feels like to have a team full of fearless cats. And when you watch them play, Draves, I mean, Shimmy Ogilvy, look at Giannis Antetokounmpo, like, what?
He
looks at LeBron like, what? When you're ninth, 10th, 11th guy, second round rookies coming in the game and don't even flinch at the greatest player pound for pound in the game, and you want to ask, are they afraid? Are they concerned about going into Cleveland's domain, knowing how they've been able to handle this team, knowing how they took LeBron's best punch and they hit him with a 1-2 combo,
point
double
made,
digit
point
out.
Point made, young fella. You ready to hop out there
I'm
and
ready
play
to get
yourself?
Game 3
dude.
Going. Let's get it. Let's get it.
All right. So the Celtics 2 wins away from the NBA Finals. It's going to be tough, no doubt, as this series heads to Cleveland. Let's get our guy David Aldridge on the phone here. DA joining the Celtics Talk podcast. All right, Uncle David, DA, joining us on the Celtics Talk podcast. We're going to talk about Rockets, Warriors in a minute. But first, just your thoughts from afar on what the Celtics have been able to do up 2-0 on the Cavs.
Well, you know, look, I mean, what Brad Stevens is doing is phenomenal. You keep waiting for these young guys to act like young guys and realize where they are in the postseason and play like 19 and 21-year-olds, and they haven't done it yet. So, you know, at some point, maybe this is just who they are, you know, and they get credit for that. And so does Brad Stevens and so does Danny Ainge for seeing that in them. It's remarkable. Not so much that they're ahead of Cleveland, but the fact that they're just playing so free with seemingly no pressure on them. They're still performing at a very high level. So it's very impressive. Very impressive.
Yeah, we find ourselves kind of pinching ourselves just thinking that, my goodness. I mean, Jason Tatum, he's just you know, a year away from, you know, getting the guacamole out of his senior prom tux. And here he's out here just balling, going at people. You know, you mentioned earlier Brad Stevens, and he's certainly been one of the keys to their success. I wanted to get your thoughts on how you think he's perceived by other coaches throughout the league, because he does get a lot of credit, and you've got that side of the equation, but then you have those others who say, but this still is a players' league. So how do you think the coaches perceive him? Because as you remember, the coaches, they didn't exactly show a ringing endorsement when not one of them voted for Brad for from the coaches voting when they had their coach of the year vote.
Yeah, but you know, that's look. I mean, look, that was regular season. I mean, you gotta, you know, you guys know that. I mean, it was not. It's not including the playoffs. The Celtics were, you know, a solid number two. But if you look at what Toronto did, you would, I think most people would say Casey did a great job. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, it didn't work out in the playoffs. So, you know, I don't hold that against them. Most coaches, anybody that you talk to around the league understands that Brad is already one of the top two or three guys in the league in terms of scheme and also just in terms of drawing up plays, ATOs, things like that. I know he says that's overrated, but it's not overrated because he's extremely good at it, and he's extremely good at getting the shot that his team wants, and that's very difficult to do in a league where everybody is scouted intensely, especially this time of year. So the biggest thing is to me is that he has put a lot of these guys, now some of them, you know, Tatum might just be that good. He might just be a freak, great player who's going to be great from minute one and change the trajectory of the franchise. But a lot of the other guys, he puts them in position to play at their best because he gives them so much confidence. It's the thing that you guys, I'm sure, have heard time and time again from players is that he makes them feel confident, you know? And again, that's very difficult to do with a young team. It's just not something that is normal for young players because young players get scorched in this league. They get taken in this league. You know, they get humbled in this league. And the Celtics young guys do not play that way. They do not play like young guys that have been humbled. They play like young guys that have not been humbled. And I mean that in a good way. I mean that they have that kind of athletic arrogance that they feel like they're going to succeed no matter the opponent, no matter this time of year, no matter the schedule, that they're going to succeed and they're going to play hard. And again, Coach Stevens and the staff, I think, just get a lot of credit for creating that kind of environment around a talented but extremely young team, at least the team that's on the floor now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, David, and, you know, I want to go back to just the Coach of the Year voting, and I agree, the job Dwayne Casey did for Brad not to get one vote. I mean, Doc Rivers got a vote out there, Terry Stotts, and Stotts did a great job. All those guys did a great job. You know, the feeling around here is that maybe there's some jealousy out there. You know, we even heard Robert Parrish chime in and say, you know, Brad's a great coach, does great things, but he hasn't won a championship yet, you know? And so has there been any sense at all of jealousy or there was a podcast too. I think what was it? Zach Lowe's come out podcast maybe a month ago where one coach, you know, brought up that, you know, maybe there is some jealousy regarding Brad Stevens. What has he accomplished?
Well, I mean, again, I think that's looking for a reason where none exists, really, honestly, to be honest with you. I mean, I would never say never. I would never say that's impossible. That doesn't happen. I just don't think that's a big deal. If there's two or three coaches that may have those sorts of feelings, that doesn't explain the other 27. Okay. So, you know, so I don't think that that's a big deal. I just think that, again, there's lots of good coaches in the regular season. I don't think that it's a slight that he didn't get any votes from the coaches. He's going to get a lot of votes from the media when those awards come out. So, and I don't think he's tripping over it. So, I mean, again, I don't think this is a big deal. I mean, I think a big deal is they're up 2-0 against Cleveland in the Eastern Finals.
Right. And that is a huge deal. And making it even a bigger deal is the fact that they've been able to do it without Kyrie Irving, without Gordon Hayward. When you look at this Celtics team and the success that they've been able to manage without those two key cogs, how, if they were to get past Cleveland, do you see them matching up with a Houston or a Golden State? Two teams that they played early this year and had a certain level of success against.
Well, you know, you know, from an athletic standpoint, I think they obviously, this group has shown it can defend at a high level. And also, and, you know, and again, does so without the mistakes of youth, which is usually blown assignments and fouls. I mean, right. Usually put a young guy out there, he gets the assignment wrong, he leaves somebody wide open, or he doesn't know how to defend without fouling. He reaches in and gets two quick fouls. Again, these guys have not done that, at least so far in the playoffs. They haven't done it regularly. So, so if they are, if this is who they are, then I think they match up pretty well with both of those teams because of the length. You know, the Browns, Tatum, Smart trio of defenders is just, it's just really long and really good.
It's amazing how this youthful bunch, I mean, they're the fifth youngest team in the NBA, and the fact that they're just two wins away from the NBA Finals without their two best players is just absolutely mind-blowing to me. One of the perceptions out there, though, and we've kind of touched on it a little bit, is about Brad Stevens, just him being the face of the franchise and him being, you know, the head of the snake, if you will. I thought that was supposed to be Kyrie Irving. And I think there's some folks who might say, hey, isn't that Kyrie Irving? There's some people who think that Kyrie might have a problem with this being seen as Brad's team as opposed to his team. And what are your thoughts on that, David?
Well, you know, again, before Kyrie got hurt the first month and a half of the season, when they got off to that great start, that was, I think, the perception that Kyrie had come in and done the things that he said he wanted to do and could do if he were the focal point of a franchise, but he got hurt. I mean, right. You can't ask a guy who's not playing his opinion about things. I mean, doesn't carry a lot of weight. So, you know, you got to get on the floor and be out there. And that's so if he's got a problem with that, get back on the floor, you know? you got to do that. You got to, and he knows that, you know, I mean, I think that was part of the incredible frustration he had in 2015, getting to the finals and then getting hurt,
right,
and not being able to contribute in the finals. And I think that's, you know, what he has to work on and be accountable for in the next 2 or 3 years of his career. You got to be on the floor. You know, you don't do anybody good and any good in a suit. You just don't. No matter what your intentions are, no matter how hard you work, that's part of being great, is showing up. You got to be on the floor.
The series that you're out there covering, Golden State, Houston, Golden State got what they wanted. They got the split. But how do you think that series is going to play out when all is said and done?
Well, you got to tell me, and this is something over the next couple of days everybody's going to be asking about, is what's the deal with Curry? What's the deal with Steph Curry?
Right.
Because he has not really looked like himself since he's been back. And they've had several stretches where he's had several days off to kind of get himself right physically. And that's the question that I have. In my mind, the first game he came back, it was all adrenaline. He was, you know, moving great and looked like himself. But really, since then, he hasn't. Part of that is Houston. Part of that is they're really challenging him on the 3-point line and making him put the ball on the floor. Mm-hmm. And to his credit, he's not forcing it. He's doing, you know, he's taking that. He's going to the hole. He's trying to draw fouls. He's, you know, he's attacking the front of the rim. And, you know, I'll do credit. But that's not Steph Curry. Steph Curry is pulling up from 30 and, you know, taking people's hearts with those threes. That's how he destroys opponents. And he has not done that so far the first two games of the series. Now, is that physical? Is it mental? Is it just credit to Houston? I don't know. I mean, that's the playoffs. I know people play you differently in the playoffs, but he's got to get himself going. You know, Klay Thompson in game one got open, found spots. Houston messed up a lot defensively, and he was able to pop open and hit six threes. And as long as they have one of the two guys helping Durant, I think they'll be fine. But you got to have one of them. You can't just have Durant score. And they need somebody else. And whether it's Klay or Curry, one of them's got to do that. And I think it's got to be Steph, and especially coming back home, you know, where they all play better and looser. But this is really where Steph does a lot of damage is in Oakland.
No doubt. All right, D.A., thanks for jumping on the Celtics Talk podcast with us. Maybe we'll see you during the NBA Finals, my friend.
I think that is a strong possibility.
All right, that's what we like to hear.
There we go.
All right, David, thanks, man.
Appreciate it, David.
Now we're going to get into a great conversation with Terry Rozier and our own Abby Chin. They talk, obviously, this series and also some of T. Rozier's old school social media post. Let's listen to it.
First of all, I want to know, at halftime of game two, what did you eat? What did you do? Because you came out like a man on a mission.
You know, obviously, just I hope this team go. I'm the point guard. You know, obviously, I got to fill in a lot of shoes. Everybody know that. But, you know, when I'm playing at a high level, when I'm playing at a fast pace, when I'm getting out and running, demanding a lot from guys like that, we're playing at a high level. And I came out of third quarter just being aggressive, and it worked out for me and my teammates, and we just kept going from there.
No question. You got the win. You head to Cleveland, Ohio, your home state, up 2-0 on the Cavs. What does it mean to you to return to your home state in this role at this level on this stage?
It's big time, man. I'm excited. I'm so excited. I can't wait. I mean, last year we was in this position, but obviously I got a bigger role this year, and I'm starting, so I'm looking even more toward, you know, going there than, versus last year. But, you know, I'm living the dream, man, and I just want to obviously give me a win over there.
Will there be a lot of family and friends in the crowd?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot. You're going to see a lot of scary Terry T-shirts everywhere.
Speaking of those guys, you're pretty active on social media during the regular season. Have you had to kind of cut some of that back?
Yeah, I cut a lot of it back. Not really on Instagram, except for the picture I posted with me and Drew Bledsoe. I had to post that. But I'm not on Twitter, none of that. So right after the season, you'll see me posting a lot.
How do you view that medium? Why do you like it so much?
What? Which don't?
Social media. Why do you like to post? How do you feel connects you with people?
You know, I always said this, and it even goes back to Snapchat. Like, I got a lot of people that look up to me that's watching. And, you know, I don't want to make it so private what I'm doing. I want everybody to, you know, just to see the way I'm living, especially like my young guys that look up to me. So, you know, I feel like it's special just to connect with them and you know, talk to them sometimes. And, you know, you can make somebody's day just from a tweet or anything. So, you know, I'm kind of active on social media.
While we're talking about social media, almost every post game, we do a weird Celtics Twitter segment where we bring out some memes and things that people are talking about. But I think you can kind of credit weird Celtics Twitter with coming up with a Scary Terry nickname. Are you aware of all the memes and things that people post about you?
No, I'm not. I'm looking forward to seeing some. Hopefully they're kind of funny. I'll probably just laugh, but I haven't seen none.
Part of that, though, Terry, is that
actually,
you're playing.
No, actually, I did see a couple.
Have you seen the one where you're crawling out of the TV?
Yes.
Coming like for people. One. You don't like that one? Why?
I don't like my face.
You don't like that picture, that specific picture. Okay, well, while we're talking about social media, there was a Vine that you posted back in 2013 that.
I don't know. All I do is this. My boy right here. Other boy right there. It's all about the cook life.
Are you really thinking of giving up basketball to become a barbecue chef?
No, I just wanted some attention. That's all. I can't even cook. But, yeah, just me being young and, you know, just riding away with being on Vine and stuff like that. But, yeah, that's funny. That video's funny. I actually see some people bring that video back up. I need to go delete some of my old stuff.
I think you made the right decision. In fact, you're playing so well that there are some fans and some people on social media saying the Celtics can trade Kyrie Irving now. Because you're here. What do you think about that?
I'm not focused. I'm not worried about that. You know, people gonna say how they feel or whatever. You know how it goes. They love you, they hate you, they love you again. So that's why I never feed into none of that. But you know, it's gonna be special when Kyrie come back and we get to play together. I know that for sure.
Finally, what is the focus going into game three? How do you guys get this one on the road?
We gotta maintain our same focus that we've been having in games one and two, but we even got to play at a higher level, and we know that we left a lot of points on the table, and you know that's what film for. We watch film, and you know we're ready to go in there and compete, man. We know it's not gonna be easy, but this is something that we really want, and we're looking forward to.
Terry, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, shout out to Terry Rozier. Great stuff with Abby. T. Rose, man. He's fun on and off the
love
floor,
that dude. Love that
dude.
Abby caught him out there when she asked him about those 2013
the video Instagrams. Instagrams
yeah.
Or whatever.
Him and I actually had a conversation away from the scrum about that, and he was like, you know, you gotta take some of that stuff down.
Yeah, he gonna have to erase that.
And I told him, I said, T, when you get in the spotlight, you got to clean it up a
you
little,
sunshine. You got to clean it up because people are digging it up. All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Celtics Talk podcast. Thanks, as always, to David Aldridge for jumping on the podcast. And, of course, great stuff between Terry and Abby. You can always subscribe on your favorite podcasting apps, Apple Podcast as well. We'll see you next week. Maybe we're talking NBA Finals this time,
hey,
big fella.
Hey, hey.
For A. Sharif Blakely, I'm Kyle Draper. See you next week on the Celtics Talk podcast.
We out!